الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ويرضى ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رحمة للعالمين وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا إمام الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد الحمد لله by the infinite grace by his infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have been given the opportunity to yet again gather here in his noble home on this blessed and sacred day of Jumu'ah to reconnect our hearts and our minds and to strengthen our hearts and our minds with the glorious Qur'an, with the beautiful Sunnah and to also bring ourselves closer to our brothers and sisters in faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our intentions, our efforts, and make this day a means for our forgiveness, for our protection, for our guidance, for our success and salvation, insha'Allah, Hul Aziz. Today, insha'Allah, on this day of Jumu'ah, we will talk about a very large topic, and it encompasses a very major part or major step in a person's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the glorious Qur'an that people make this dua. The people of Allah make this dua. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا O our Lord, our benevolent, merciful Lord, the one who has designed us and fashioned us, the one who has given us these various stages and steps in life, for we have the step and stage of just being a child, just being a toddler, and then we grow up and we become teenagers and adolescents, and we become adults. All of these are the nizam, the stages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us all. And we have to go from one stage to the next, and to continue our journey of development and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even death is another stage in our life, in our return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is our ultimate return on the day of Qiyamah. So these people at this particular age, at this particular point in their life, they come to this acknowledgement, they come to this recognition and realization that now that they need something else. When you're young, you have your siblings, you have your parents, it's fine. When you're growing up, you have your friends, you have your colleagues, it's fine. But there comes a stage in your life when you want the next thing. And that next stage in your life is to be married, is to have a partner, is to have a spouse, is to have a companion, somebody to share your life with, somebody to be close with, intimate with, to share your worries, your concerns, and to also bring about a new progeny, a new generation, that generation which will call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those children that will become the coolness of your eyes, those children that will become a means for your success, a means for your elevation, especially on the day of Qiyamah. So these are the people at that particular stage in their life saying, Oh Allah, grant us from amongst all of the creation that you have made, our wives and our offspring, become comfort to our eyes, and make us examples for the righteous. And this is a key thing that I want to stress today in terms of وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Here the imama is not just about standing on the musalla and leading the prayer, or just being in your home and ordering and dictating to your wife or your husband to do this or that. No, this means leadership in the general sense that humanity has been created to move forward, to show people that males and females have been created to come together, to unite together, and they've been created to complete their faith and their iman, to complete their life, and for them to complete their home, provide a stable home for each other, and then also to show them that this is how you bring up children in the dunya, children who are well versed in the principles of their deen, who are well mannered, have good etiquettes and values and principles. This is the leadership that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to show that righteousness towards our spouse, and also show our righteousness towards our children, so that we can have a harmonious and beautiful home, beautiful partner, and beautiful family, and also beautiful society. So this is a very important topic that we will try to pick on over the next few Jumu'ahs, to try to understand a bit more for our youngsters the importance of marriage and what Islam says about marriage and how to go about it. The reason why I say this, especially because over the last 2 or 3 weeks I've been inundated with various emails talking, and people have been sharing their concerns and their problems. Many people are unable to marry because they have reached a particular stage in their life, because they prioritize other things in their life. Other people, even if they want to marry, they just can't find the right person at that particular time. Other people are delaying marriage for a deliberate reason, whether it's personal or financial or various other reasons. So there's lots of reasons of people not marrying, or people marrying but marrying for the wrong reasons, and then things not working out. So it's very important for us as Muslims to understand the Quranic perspective on the importance of understanding who you are. And there comes a stage in your life, and your parents need to acknowledge that there will be that stage, and they need to bring about that preparation for their daughter and for their son. You as an individual, as a mature human being, as a person who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understands your religion, understands their own biology, understands their mentality, understands their physical and financial ability, they also need to consider as individuals that this is the next step in my life, and this is the next decision that I need to make, and it needs to be the correct decision. So people are not marrying. There's 18 million people currently in America who are delaying marriage. From 16 onwards, now they're in their late 40s and even going into their 50s. 18 million people, and probably a similar amount here in the UK, that people are just not marrying, or they are delaying their marriage. So they're staying more bachelors or bachelorettes during their life, or they are remaining celibate throughout their life. And this is not what the Prophet ﷺ ever commanded or ordered. The Prophet ﷺ emphatically mentioned, "An-nikahu min sunnati, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي." That nikah is part of my sunnah, it is part of the fitrah, it is part of the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whosoever does not follow my sunnah, does not follow my way, then he is not truly from me. Are you not a true follower of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, a true follower of the message given to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we live in the modern world, and the world dictates to us that we need to continue to pursue our education, pursue our career, pursue all of these successes of the dunya. It's okay, we can delay marriage, we can delay children, we can freeze our eggs, we can freeze our sperm, we can do all of these things. Let's just focus on yourself. But you're not just here for yourself, you're here for a greater purpose. You need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you need to complete your iman by having a good partner. Then you need to complete your life by having a good family, and then you need to bring up those children who will continue and propagate that message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So our youngsters really need to reassess that what are their priorities in their life. And they should look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran that how He has created you from stages. And when this stage comes in your life, then you need to move on and make the correct decision. And similarly, what the Prophet ﷺ would teach the Sahaba ikram about marrying, especially at an early age. So delaying marriage for whether education or career or just waiting for the right person, these are some of the reasons. Some people are also marrying without actually being prepared for their marriage. Whether this can, you can consider this to be forced marriage by families and friends, or whether they're just going into the marriage without actually doing any research or understanding who they are and what they want and what their expectations are of marriage. This can also lead to various dire consequences in marriage as well. Not fulfilling the rights of marriage as mandated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect each other, to honor each other, to love each other, to respect each other, to provide for one another physically, emotionally, intimately, financially, spiritually. All of these things are there and they really need to be considered very, very acutely before we make that decision of whether delaying or just jumping into it blind. So broken marriages are rampant, unfortunately, in our society, as are forced marriages. They are happening in our society as well. This is one of the most important decisions of a person's life. Most important decision in the life of an adult. This is the time for you to move on. This is the time for you to find somebody suitable. Time for you to complete your iman. Time for you to complete and continue your message and continue your progeny. And that progeny that will continue to remember and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So marriage can be a very, very complicated endeavor if you are idealistic. And this is one of the biggest problems that we have in the younger generation. In the olden times, our buzurgs, our parents, our elders, they used to say, you know, they used to do all of the research, background checks and DBS checks and everything to the best of their ability. And then you say, putter, marry this individual, or beta, marry this individual. And they had the best interest. And even now, our parents do, but because we are so modern, we think we know better than our parents, that our parents are pindu or they're backwards, and we actually can do better vetting process. But that's not something that we should obviously fall in the trap of. So the majority of the children in this day and age, the reason why they are not getting married is because they are too idealistic. That these are the ideals. They want this perfect prince. They want this perfect princess. But the reality is they don't really exist. So instead of being idealistic in the things that we want, we need to be realistic in what we can actually achieve, what we can find. Everybody wants a Ferrari, but based on your wages, you could probably only possibly own a Ford, or maybe, you know, a Honda or something like that. Everybody wants to have a mansion with 10 bedrooms, but you can probably only afford one or two bedroom. We need to be realistic. Look within our capability, look at your own awqad, look at you, your standing, your position, and see what is realistic for you, rather than have these great ideals that we always aspire towards, but the reality is that we can't actually achieve those things. So this is a very important thing for the youngsters to understand, as well as for parents, because parents are also a major problem in this circumstance. Why? Parents see their child, my putter has studied this much, they have this many degrees, they have this many qualifications, they have this much experience, they have this much wage and income, X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to accept anybody below this particular standard. They also cause these problems, as well as the individuals. So realize there is no Mr. Perfect, there is no Miss Perfect, there is no Mr. Right or Miss Right. We all have to understand that we ourselves are not perfect. Then how can we expect perfection from other people as well? So this is a very important thing, being idealistic or being realistic. And this is the difference which will either lead you towards a happy and a successful marriage, or a marriage where you actually have a chance in surviving, or one where you actually end up delaying and delaying and delaying. And when you do end up making that decision, it's either too late, or you will realize that things are not matching up to your ideals. So what happens is, in the society that we live in, the film world that we see all around us, the billboards, the media, the books that we read, the society that we live in, it all creates a false impression of marriage. We've all read the stories, and they lived happily ever after. This is what we hear and what we see, and at the end the boy always gets the girl, or something else happens. These are all of the ideals that we are shown and portrayed, and saying this is how your life should be, a life of enjoyful and life of complete happiness and no misunderstanding and no fighting and no arguing and no bickering. It doesn't exist. There were problems even within the household of the Prophet ﷺ. He would, you know, sometimes argue with his wives, and they would have disagreements with one another as well. This is just human nature. But what makes you better is you are able to communicate. You are able to overcome those problems and those challenges and come to a compromise and a solution rather than just say, oh no, that's, you know, everybody is perfect. Everybody is human, therefore we are inherently imperfect. And therefore we have to always try to make things work. So this is a very important thing that we have to discard what the society teaches us, the film, the media, and all of these books, and look at what the reality is. And the reality is that marriage is always a compromise. It is always a compromise. You are brought up in a particular way. Your parents brought you up, your mother, your father, they had particular values and ideals based on their circumstances, their financial, their religious education. All of these variables are there. That girl, your wife, your spouse, she was brought up in her own circumstances. So you have to learn to compromise. She may have her way of life. She may have her way of cooking or cleaning or tidying or doing things in her particular style or her particular order. Just like you have your particular style and order, that doesn't mean you always have to clash. You have to accept and you have to compromise and you have to learn with one, live with one another and learn to be realistic in your marriage rather than be idealistic. So marriage requires a huge amount of effort. It requires a huge amount of tolerance. Being tolerant towards your wife, being respectful towards your wife, being dignified towards your wife, realizing that he or she have an equal voice, they have experience, they can share their opinions as well. It's not just your way or the highway. There's no such thing as, there shouldn't be this thing of superiority in the relationship or this patriarchy in the relationship, because this is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Ya ayyuhan nasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa unsa. Males and females have been created. Ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqu rabbakum allazi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. You have been created from one entity, from one soul, and you have been made into these partners. So understanding these things are very, very important. Having that compromise and making the effort with one another, tolerating and respecting each other, and having understanding is the only thing that will actually make things work. Just because somebody, you know, has these ideals doesn't mean that they're actually going to be very successful in their marriage. So boys, men, they always want to have a beautiful wife, to have an educated wife, to have a rich wife. They want all of these things, rich, beautiful, educated. But at the same time, what do they also want? A completely subservient and a completely obedient wife as well. You know, that's, you know, a big ask. It's a big task that you're really, really asking for. You have to be realistic, you know. If you're going to have an educated wife, she's going to have her opinion. And she's going to challenge you on certain things as well. If you have a beautiful wife, you've got to look at yourself as well. If you have a rich wife, she's independent. Her money is her own. And your money is also her money as well. So then there's going to be some tension. There's going to be some, obviously, friction there as well. So think about what you are asking. Think about your ideals. Think about these things and are they actually realistic? Because you can't have all of those things and then still say, you obey me and you listen to me and you are subservient to me and theriya, sikita, see, I am the mard. This is not how relationships work. Because then we end up, the males, they end up feeling threatened by their wife due to their education, due to their wealth, or due to their beauty. And then as a result, friction and animosity and fights and various other things ensue as a result of these things. Why? Because we haven't thought out what we actually want from our marriage, what we actually want from our partner, from our companion. And then we have this superiority complex, we have this patriarchy complex in our wives or in our relationships. So try to look for the best partner, the best spouse, because that best partner and best spouse will also become your best friend, your best companion, and inshaAllah al-Aziz, they'll become a good parent as well. They'll give you the best chance of having a successful relationship and a marriage work as well. So there's so many things that we really need to kind of unpack and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us all uniquely. Males are distinct, females are distinct, and the way that you have been brought up is a very, very distinct manner. But when we come to that particular stage in our life, we need to be very, very careful and understand who we are and how incomplete we are and how imperfect we are, and then go out and be realistic in finding the right partner. I know certain people who look for the best burger throughout Oldham, throughout Manchester and everywhere, and they'll carry on in their pursuit and their journey of finding the best burger, but they'll never find the most best burger in the world. They'll carry on in their life. You won't find the best thing, the most perfect thing. Everything you have to learn, it will be a compromise, will be, you know, an effort, a tolerance, an understanding, a mutual agreement. This is what you need to understand. So one thing that we can do in our relationship when you're looking for marriage is to find out what you have in common. Commonality is very, very important. Having the same wavelength is also very, very important. So the aspirations that you have, the goals and the objectives that you have, a person loves to stay at home and you love to go out, you know, it's going to cause a friction and a difference. So make sure that when you are pursuing or trying to find somebody, your wavelength, your aspirations and your aims, your goals, your objectives and your direction, your general direction, not the specific direction that you have, but the general direction that you have in your life, you have some commonality in those things. Commonality is important. Why? Because you don't want a photocopy of that partner, of you. You don't want them to be exactly like you. Because if they're exactly like you, they'll have the same problems like you as well. So you don't want to have a person who's a carbon copy of you. You just want a person who has similar interests in you. And then inshallah, with the slight differences and the nuances in her and you, you'll be able to make your personalities meet together rather than clash with one another. And you'll be able to balance your relationship. Otherwise, if you just have a photocopy of yourself, you're quiet, she's quiet. You're angry, she's angry. You're happy, she's happy. I mean, it won't always necessarily work. So have things in common, have that commonality, but don't have that photography where it's a carbon copy of you and that individual. The Prophet ﷺ, he gives us various instructions that a person, a woman especially here, is married for four things. Either she can be married for her property, the wealth that she has. Either she can be married for her status, her background, her, you know, baradri, etc. Or she could be married for her beauty. Or the Prophet ﷺ said she could be married for her religion. And the Prophet ﷺ at the end mentioned very clearly that you should give precedence and preference to the one who has deen. First of all, bizati deen. Seek that person with the deen. Because the wealth and the status and the beauty and the family background, whilst they are important, however, the religion will always trump wealth. Because when the religion is there, even when you are poor, even when you are destitute, even when you are going to a food bank, she will still love you. She will still be your partner and your friend, because she will not just think that this person married me for my money. This person married me because I was wealthy, or because I had a status, I had links and contacts, because I was beauty. All of these things, they change with time. Wealth changes. It fluctuates throughout your lifetime. Beauty fades. It will never stay the same. No matter how much cosmetic surgery you get, no matter how much makeup you wear, it will inevitably degrade. And statuses never remain the same as well. Look at countries, look at dictatorships, look at communities, societies. Everything is in a constant state of flux. So all of these things fade or become weaker and become less important. What remains strong and should remain strong is the deen. The faith is the one that gets you through the difficult time, through the dark time, through the hard time, through sorrow, through lust, through difficulty. It is the deen. She will support you and aid you in your salah, in your deen, in various other elements. It is her character and it is your character and your religion that will give you benefit in the dunya. Most importantly, will give you benefit in the hereafter. So individuals, and also most importantly parents, they shouldn't just prioritize rishte. Because unfortunately, I know parents have come to me, individuals have come to me, and they say, look, my parents want X, Y, and Z. Or I want X, Y, and Z. Imam said, find me a rishta. Okay, what are your requirements? They need to have this qualification. They need to have this much earning. They need to be living on their own. I don't want SAS and all of these things. I don't want living with my in-laws. All of these things. They have all of these things, but at the very end, or even not even mentioned many times, is their religion. Whether they pray five times a day or not, whether they give their zakah, whether they are fasting or not, whether they are practicing Muslim or not, whether they have gone on Hajj or done Umrah, any of these things, anything, these things actually matter to them. So my question to you as well as to them often is that if a person cannot fulfill his relationship and cannot fulfill his duty and cannot be faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how will he ever be faithful to you, to your daughter, to your son, or to you as parents? And this is something that we tend to often overlook. We think that wealth will give you safety and security and success. Beauty and status will give us all of these things and will give us happiness to our daughter. But rather it is the deen that will give your daughter, your son, that stability, that prosperity, that happiness, that joy, and most importantly, that success, not just in the dunya, but rather in the hereafter. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَتَزَوَّجُوهُ. That if a person comes to you and you see that his deen is good, he is practicing, and his character is good, then you should marry that individual. You should marry off your daughter or your son to that individual who is a practicing Muslim or Muslimah who has good character. Why? If you do not do that, إِلَّا تَفَعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيدٌ. Otherwise, fitna and fasad will spread throughout your community and throughout the society as well. We see this because people's expectations, their ideals are so much now, and people now, as a result of not marrying or delaying their marriage, pornography in the Muslim countries is on the rise. Zina, fornication and adultery and various other acts, they're on the rise. People are breaking their own marriages and other marriages. Why? Because they are delaying these things, because they are rejecting other people and good rishte purely because of this qualification or status or wealth and various other things as well. So inshaAllah al-Aziz, we will continue with this discussion that I've opened inshaAllah on marriage, the importance of marriage, the state that we are in our life as individuals, also as parents as well, and our duties that we need to consider to make sure that we fulfill our rights and responsibilities towards our deen, inshaAllah. قل عزيز وقولي قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم جزاكم الله خيرا كنت ضروري